I can face tomorrow because he lives. All here is gone. He must have known who holds the future. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you live. Lord, not just in somewhere else or someone else, Lord, but in each of us. Lord, to direct us, to bring us, Lord, so completely in line with your word, Lord, that we are the word on earth, Lord. May you continue, Lord, in the hour that we're living to bring that to pass. You've worked on it all these years, Lord. We can look back there at the end and see it, Lord. And it's such a glorious picture. Lord, it makes us feel so little that you would include us in it. We thank you for it. And pray you'll help us tonight, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to start off tonight. We'll notice that the title of this quote here is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know Brother Branham told us that the Bible, the entire Bible, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We also know that we're part of Jesus Christ. So if the Bible is an entire, the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's also the revelation of us, because we're part of him. And we've been talking about God writing his Bible, and we talked about how that God interprets the things that he says through his prophets. He brings them to pass. And then every age, when the messenger is there, there are people there that will receive that message. And Brother Branham always told us, he said, you know, Jesus couldn't come and bring Moses' message. And this one couldn't bring that one's message. The only message that could come was the message the people were there to receive. God had it laid out. He had a message that had been prophesied would come, and he had people there waiting to receive it. God writing his Bible. Because every one of those ages was God revealing himself. Remember we talked about God walking amongst the candlesticks in the church ages. It was God revealing himself. And so let's just dig into that a little deeper. And let's look at this first verse here. Sometimes I think the message says things that are so incredible that this thing can't take it. This brain, it can't take it. And Brother Branham talks about that here. So let's look at it. We now come to a conclusion, such conclusion as we have already found in the Word. As much as we believe in trying to find the oldest and best manuscripts to get the best record of the Word possible, we will never get the true meaning. Listen to that. What he's pointing out, the true meaning. The true meaning has nothing to do with that, those things. We will never get the true meaning of it by study and comparison of scriptures. Yet the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. So you can start arguments going both ways right here. But that's not what we do. Brother Branham, you can go find things in the Bible and you can point this out and point that out. But then you take Brother Branham and him go back and pull those types out and run those types all the way through the Bible. And it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. God wrote it in between those lines all the way through. And that revelation, people scoff at it still to this day and make fun of it. But to me, and I'm sure to you, and those that really love his appearing, when we see those things, we just can't hardly believe it. Not that's a figure of speech, you know what I'm saying? It's just so overwhelming when we see those things sometimes. And we think that we're part of it. We're part of him doing these things. And we can never have the true meaning of it by study and comparison of scriptures, sincere as we may be. So there's no way for man to know it that way. It will take a revelation from God to bring it out. That is exactly what Paul said. And so we know that goes right with the scripture. It'll take a revelation to bring it out. Because Brother Branham said, no man can call Jesus the Christ unless the Lord shows him. You can't even know that is the anointed unless God shows you that that's the anointed. So the revelation, it will take a revelation from God to bring it out. That is exactly what Paul said. Which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. 1 Corinthians 2:15. You know, I always thought it was astounding the things that Paul brought in the Bible when he was one of the most intellectual. What did they say? Amongst the Sadducees and Pharisees, he would teach some of them. And God, I thought it was interesting that God would choose him to do that. He chose him to go. The highest among them. He brought him down to the lowest and then brought him back up amongst the people he was against. The true revelation is God interpreting his own word. So there's just one, and it's always God bringing it to pass, because that's what interpreting means. So let's put, I'm going to substitute those words in and let's read it. Brother Branham said interpreting means what? God bringing it to pass. That's how he interprets his word, by bringing it to pass. And what did we say vindicated means? Brother Branham, if you look through the message, he said it means it proves it. The true revelation is God bringing his own word to pass by proving what's promised. That's the true revelation. So if you have a revelation, it's God bringing it to pass. And what is revelation? Brother Brown said, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Who's the only one knows the things that aren't seen yet? God's the only one knows those things. He's the only one can give that to someone else. The true revelation is God interpreting his own word by vindicating what's promised. So a prophet brings it, and then he comes and brings it to pass. That's the true revelation. Now, we hit on that a little bit this last time when Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:6, is it Isaiah where he said, unto us a son is born. Mm-hmm. And then 800 years later, a son's born. That's when it became the interpretation. Now, don't let anyone be misled by what I have said and think that I do not believe in the accuracy of the word as we now have it. I believe this Bible is accurate. Jesus completely authenticated. Now listen, now he's not talking about Jesus going around preaching, although Jesus is part of that. Jesus was preaching. But we hit on this a little bit the last time when Brother Branham, when the Bible said, he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. What was he doing? He was taking that scripture and he was associating it with him. And then God proved it. He brought it to pass. They tore it down and he raised it back up in 3 days. Jesus completely authenticated. Now, it wasn't a man. It was God. That was God doing that. Jesus completely authenticated. And authenticated means what? It proves that it's true. It proved the Old Testament when here on earth, and it was compiled exactly as our New Testament was. Make no mistake about it. We have the infallible Word of God today, and no man dares to take from it or add to it. But we need the same Spirit that gave it to teach it to us. Amen. That's the truth. Not only that, remember what Brother Bram said? He said that a minister has no business coming here to minister or anywhere to minister unless he has been on the backside of the desert. I mean, you don't have to see God in a burning bush, but you have to know God. You have to be born again. Otherwise, you're not this that he's talking about. We need the same Spirit that gave it to teach it to us. Remember what he said about Paul? Remember he said that so many times. He said that about Paul. He said, Paul preached in power and demonstration. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? I know he healed people and things like that when he was in the service. But what does that mean that he preached in power and demonstration? He didn't come with vain words and big words and stuff, but he came in power and demonstration. And Brother Branham said, and you can look it up if you want to, he said that meant he was the Word. Paul was the Word. He was not just preaching it, he was it. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. Though some are very good, and I'm not against them, but we need the revelation of the Spirit. And thank God we can have what we need. For God wants to reveal His Word to us by His Spirit. May God begin by His Spirit to give us continuous life, giving, life-giving and prevailing revelation. So this revelation He gives us is life also. He's given us of His self. Where does revelation come from? Revelation is God unfolding Himself. So He wants us to, Brother Bram's praying that He unfold Himself in us. May God begin by His Spirit to give us continuous life-giving and prevailing revelation. Oh, if the church could only get a fresh revelation and become by it the living Word manifested. You get a revelation, you become a part of that manifested Word. Now, I want you to see, if we don't see nothing else, you are a part of the Bible that God is making to be. You are God expressing Himself. We feel so powerless and so, I don't know, we get down sometimes and we let Satan beat us around and stuff like that. But this has not got anything to do with our abilities. God is expressing Himself. And I know if you're anything like me, it was hard to believe that God wanted anything to do with me. I know every one of us is that way. One time. Why did He want anything to do with me? And it wasn't that He wanted the sinner, Chris. It's that He saw something in us. And He was going to express what He thought about us. Yeah. And we had to remember that constantly. That God is expressing us. It's so simple because I know we've heard it 100 times. But that's where the power of this message is, in that simplicity. Just that little thing. What did Brother Branham say about Samson when he reached back there and he got a hold of the hair on the back of his head? What did that mean to him? It was God's promise. And he knew God's promise was with him. It was His promise. It was God's promise to do these things. Samson knew it was God promised to do it in Samson. And the word is the same. If you see, it's yours. We talk about seeing ourselves in the message. I don't think we've saw ourselves in the message enough. Oh, the church, if it could only, I got that. Let's go on down. The fresh revelation, become by it the living word manifested. We could be that. We would do the greater things and glorify God our Father in heaven. Now, this will be kind of a, seem like an abrupt change here, but just stay with me. And this is from the thirst message, and this is the scripture he read at the beginning of the message. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So notice that what he's talking about. The living God. He thirsts for the living God. Now look, listen to what Brother Branham says about that. Now let us look at the thirst and see whether actually a thirst is a natural thing. I've had people to tell me, oh, I never did. I believe it's just for people, some people, to want to be Christians. Now remember, he's saying this is a natural thirst. I believe it's just for some people to want to be Christians. Oh no, that's wrong. It's actually something that's associated with every human being. Now you think about it. God put us down here. He gave us a soul to make a decision with. And yet he even put in us to desire him, to desire to worship him. And men still turned away. But it's in every human being. It certainly is true. When we come to this country in the early days and found the Indians here, Indians, though they were heathen at that time, they worshiped the sun or something. As long as they were human, there is something in them, a natural thirst, calling out for God somewhere. Now, you know that David said here, for the living God. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then, now, he read that, and now this is what he comes up with from that. Then there can be no satisfaction until this Word, which is God, becomes alive in you. There's nothing going to quench it but that. And when you see God himself, now listen to where he's putting it. He just said, until this word becomes alive in you, then you see God himself fulfilling the promises that he made in the Bible. So you see him writing his Bible, not only in your brothers and sisters, not only in the prophet of the age, you see it in you. Because he is showing it to you. Now, we have different interpreters of the Bible, but here's where the problem comes. One church interprets it this way. Another one interprets it that way. And remember, nobody has the right to interpret anything. It's entirely up to God to do the interpreting. But people, they still have that natural thirst, see? And they want to figure out a way to try to quench it. And so they'll do all these things. You know, sometimes I've described it, whatever eases their conscience. Because they'll have this desire, and then this much of church will ease that conscience. And then another person, it takes a little more to ease the conscience. But every last bit of it is intellectual. It has nothing to do with God whatsoever. It's all a fleshly thing that's taking place. Interprets this way. Another one interprets that way. Another one this way. Some don't take but a little bit of it. Some take here and there a piece of it. But God is his own interpreter. When he makes a promise and fulfills it, that's the interpretation thereof. Now you think about the day that we're living in and how many promises Brother Branham said was for this last day. Now if he fulfilled it, we should see it. If we have the Holy Ghost, we have to recognize the things that have taken place. But God is his own interpreter. When he makes a promise and fulfills it, that's the interpretation thereof. Until he fulfills that promise, there ain't nothing for the people to have except whatever the last messenger brought. But when he comes and he fulfills the promise, then that is what you're supposed to receive. Now, remember, I can go get you that quote where Brother Branham said that about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They could have all their ideas about God, Jesus coming down out of heaven and him on a golden chariot and all these things. But Brother Branham said that was fine until God interpreted his word. And when God brought his word to pass, then they were rejecting it because they turned to their interpretation of it. They turned to their own quenching of that thirst and not to the real quenching of the thirst. And all this was going on, and Jesus spent so much time with them. And finally, he just quit answering their questions. But he went out of his way to talk to that little sister when all these other ones didn't want, they were going to give him their interpretation of it. God in his own is his own interpreter. He makes a promise. When he makes a promise and fulfills it, that's the interpretation thereof. Now, if you take that one statement and you go through the message and you read the message and you think about this as you're reading the message and you see if the Lord don't start opening your eyes to things. Maybe you already have seen a lot of it, but that right there means so much. If I promise you I would be here tonight, and here I am. That's the fulfilling of my promise. Don't you like it when he just puts it out there so plain and simple like that? And man, how many times did he tell us what God promised? How many times did he stand on the pulpit and say, if Jesus Christ was here, he'd do the same thing and then turn around and do it? And then people like, he's trying to make himself God. The same devil going off on things. If I promise you I would be here tonight, and here I am, that's the fulfilling of my promise. If I say I met you in the morning and I'm there, that's my promise. There ain't no need of making any other excuses. I've got to be there. And when God makes a promise and comes around and fulfills that promise, that's the interpretation of that promise. Then the interpretation is the manifestation. There has to be somebody there to receive it. There had to be a Peter there that day when Jesus said, who do you say I am? Because there was a revelation taking place. God showed him who that was. And what did Brother Brown, what did Jesus tell him? Upon this my church. The revelation of who he was. If you know who he is, then you know you're part of him. I would dare anybody to take God at his word and see if every word in the Bible isn't the truth. That's right. That's what the thirst is in there. You say, if I would have lived in the days of Jesus, I would have done so and so. Why, you're living in his days. Everybody says, if I lived in the Bible days, I've heard him say that. But he said, Jesus, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? The Bible. Why, you're living in his days, what are you doing about it? What are we doing about it? What are we doing? You say, well, what you've done, perhaps what the Pharisees done, they belong to the church and deny Jesus Christ. All right, so let's come over here to Mighty God unveiled before us. Now, this is what I was talking about a while ago. We can just read it. Now, when Jesus come, if he'd have come with Noah's message, it wouldn't have worked. To build an ark and float out, it wouldn't have worked. But that was Noah was a portion of God. Now, y'all heard me say that a bunch of times, so I'm going to read it to you. But Noah was a portion of God. He acted a peculiar way because he was peculiar. And his message was peculiar because it was the word being made manifest. Noah going out there and standing out there and building that ark in front of everybody for 100 years, or Brother Ram said 120 years, he put up with it. And he stayed right there. God in Noah bringing that word to pass. He could not have come with Moses' message because it wouldn't have worked. Moses was God in a portion made manifest. He was in a portion. He was the word expressed for that hour. But Jesus could not come in that. Jesus couldn't come as a portion. The Bible never said he would come in that way. But when he come, expressed exactly like the Testament had said he would be expressed. See, there he goes. He's talking about what he was talking about earlier, that Jesus confirmed the whole Old Testament when he was here. And when he come, expressed exactly like the Testament had said he would be expressed. And what did Jesus say? I don't do nothing unless the Father first shows me. And it's not me that does the works, it's the Father. So who come and declared that the Old Testament was right? God himself was doing it. I know it probably sounds like the same old thing you hear, but I'm telling you, it means so much, brother and sister. We're standing in the last days. The last days. I don't know if y'all keep up with the news or not, but the two biggest countries in the world are very, really upset about stuff. And neither one like us. Neither one. Not that I'm worried about it. And I know you're not worried about it either. But the hour, you remember what the scripture said? Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, that's been going on for years now. It's just like a tinder keg. It's about to go off. And when we're seeing what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing what we're seeing. But there's all this other that's going on underneath that we're not seeing. And I don't care to see it. And I don't want to hear no theories about it. I'm just saying, there's all this going on. They hide stuff. They hide stuff because they don't want Americans to know this, or you know, Russians to know that, or the Chinese to know that. And that's fine. We don't need to know any of that. All we need to know is this, that God is expressing us in this hour. Amen. And the bride has made herself ready. How does she make herself ready? By getting with that word. Not kinda, not sorta. But come out of her, my people, and touch not her unclean things. This world is unclean, brother and sister. I don't care how they try to clean it up. It's nasty, filthy. There's nothing on the screens that's not filthy. Everything they turn on. Half the cartoons for the kids are filthy. I mean, you don't know it, but they're teaching homosexuality and everything else underneath all that. Yeah. That's just, it should let us realize, and Brother Ram said, those that had the Holy Ghost would cry and sigh for the abominations done in the city. And it's awful. Brother Ram, back in his time, said he couldn't even go down to the river and put his boat in without some naked woman on the creek bank somewhere. He couldn't even put his boat in. Now you can't walk to town without the mess, walking up and down the streets. I didn't mean to get off on that. It's just horrible. You talk about Sodom. It looks like to me it's far beyond Sodom. But when he came, expressed exactly like the Testament had said he would be expressed. Now, if there's word that was going to tell how he was going to be expressed, and there's word to tell how he's going to be expressed when he comes back, and we're a part of him, then there's words telling us how we're going to be expressed. And God is going to bring those to pass. When all those who was redeemable believed it. All those who were redeemable believed it, because they were the thoughts of God. The attributes of him at the beginning was made flesh and redeemable, and was brought back to God. As many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. As to many as would receive, as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, because they were redeemable. Not all of them were redeemable. They were from the beginning in the expression. They were in the expression from the beginning. All right, let's come over to this message. Now, this message to me, he preached it and he called it Events Are Made Clear by Prophecy. This one he called it Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. So what? Let's think about that title for just a minute. Modern events. The things you looking around and you're seeing happening, they made clear by the prophecy. You don't recognize them as prophecy. Just like the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't recognize Jesus as the prophecy, unless God and you're born again. That's what this whole message is about. He's preaching it to these businessmen. God in the beginning, being the infinite God, he is infinite, or infinite rather. We're finite. His mind is so much greater. And we, in our little finite mind, cannot understand his great infinite wisdom. But therefore, when he speaks anything, it may seem very strange to us to hear him say that a certain thing in the scripture, but it's got to happen. So we hear it in the scripture, just like that little woman knew that the prophet was going to come. But then she saw it because it had to happen. See? But it's got to happen. I believe that his words will never pass away. Therefore, I believe that God, knowing that we in our little finite mind could not interpret his great mind, we couldn't bring his word to pass. Don't miss that. Because he's just saying another way that God is bringing us to pass. When would he say it? When he said that about, I lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me in a second. Finite mind could not interpret his great mind. He interprets his own word. He doesn't need any interpreter. He interprets his own word by vindicating it, by proving it, that word in its season. So he proves it when it's time for it to be proved. See, a man can say anything, but lest God interprets that word, see. Now we have our own interpretation. We say it means this, and this one, Methodist, says this, and the Baptist says this, and the Pentecostal says this, and the oneness says this, and the two-ness says this, and oh my, there you are. But God don't need no interpreter. Now, all those are men saying stuff and their ideas. And Brother Branham's a man, and he's saying stuff. But what did he say? He said the prophet can't say his own words. He interprets his own word by vindicating it in the age that it's purposed for, the age that it's given for. Now, I got two more messages, and at the end, some of this is going to really stand out, I hope, for the age that it's given for. We're not living in a Pentecostal age. We're living in another age. We're not living in a Methodist age. We're living in another age. We're living on up here to the bride age, the calling out of the church, and getting it ready for the rapture, getting it together for the rapture. That's the age that we're now living, to my honest opinion. That's exactly the truth. Now, and with patience, we have to wait for this. We have to wait for God to come and prove his promise. We're looking for it. Now, with patience, we have to wait for this, for the prophecies. That's promised. Every one of them must be fulfilled in its age. For it foretells us, the author has before done this, and we wait to see him do it again. We done seen him do it. We done seen him bring the Old Testament and then prove it. We've seen him bring the New Testament, and now we've saw him prove that. And then we saw him go out in the desert and bring us the bride age. A lot of people don't believe that, but it still happened. For it foretells us, the author has before done this, and we wait to see him do it again. The author has done this. The author has always done it. The author is the one who works all things together for good, that them that love him. We wait to see him do it again. What a time it is that we're living in. Something like a calendar. You look at the calendar, you find out what day of the year you're living in, and you look at God's Bible to see what age we're living in. We're not living in the Methodist age. So how's he just told you how he's going to figure out what age he's living in. Because he's going to look in the Bible and see what's prophesied for now. And so then the prophet turns around and says, when he looked in the Bible, it wasn't the Methodist age that he saw. It wasn't the Baptist age. We're living in the bride age. That's the age he saw when he looked in there. The calling, bringing back to God through a channel that he promised to bring it back in. He promised to do it. Just like he promised that he was going to deliver Israel, not Moses. Brother Branham, that was one of the first things way back in like 47, 48, 49, somewhere. Somebody asked him, said, but did God deliver Israel, or did Moses do it? And he said, it was God in Moses who did it. See, people want to keep on dividing it up when it's God is the one expressing it. We're going to hit that here in just a minute. I want to just bear down on that. Brother Bam said this was the most deceiving age of the, and the most trying age was this one. And we got a message that will prepare us for that. And so we don't want to just brush over anything. We don't want to spend our life doing other things. We want to spend our life doing whatever he wants us to do. But as it's been in every age, people let man put their own interpretation to it by theology and not believe God's divine vindication of it. They'll let somebody interpret it, but when God shows it to the people, they won't let people believe that. They won't believe it. God's divine vindication of it. That's God's interpretation. Not what I say, what somebody else says, but what God promised and what God does proves that it's God's doing, his own interpreting of his word. And what did he say we were? A thought. And then he spoke us, we were a word, and now he interprets that word. He brings it to pass. Look, they laughed at him, called him a wild, screaming, unlearned fanatic, as usual. That prophet forerunning the first coming of Jesus. Now he's talking about John and what they called him when he come out. I don't say that they don't have the same impersonations today of genuine. They do. They absolutely. But remember, when you see a bogus dollar, there's got to be a real dollar that's made off of. Where you see one impersonation to be a Christian, when you see somebody claiming to be a Christian and it don't match the word, what Brother Ram say, faith works as faith expressed. Where you see one impersonating to be a Christian, there's got to be a Christian somewhere, because if there wasn't, that would be the original, the one impersonating. Until we know that's not true. You got to get to the original, but check the first one and see if the original is just exactly with the promise. If it is, then believe it, the promise for the age. And then John's prophecy was vindicated. What was John's prophecy? It was a prophet who was coming. The Messiah was coming. That's what they was laughing at him, calling him a fanatic for, coming out of the woods. I remember Brother Brown said he'd come out of the woods with stuff all in his hair and beard and stuff, where he slept out there. You know, God was hiding it from every last one but the ones that would strike that seed. And John's prophecy was vindicated in God's order. If Brother Branham come on the scene nowadays, how many do you think, how many churches would open to let him preach? Not many. Then John's prophecy was vindicated in God's order. The word came to the prophet and vindicated him truly as that person. And by the word coming to the prophet, it vindicated John's message. See how Brother Branham phrased it? Then John's prophecy was vindicated in God's order. The word came to the prophet and vindicated him truly as that person, the one that was going to forerun the first coming. That was the only thing going to vindicate him, was the Messiah. Was the only thing going to vindicate John had told him the truth. You see that? Again, Jesus came, and then you think about our day. Again, Jesus came in a different from their understanding of that prophecy. They didn't understand it that way. Now we're going down and in now. We're going down to the end now. But according to the prophet's word, it was fulfilled to the letter. The prophecy is fulfilled, but the way they thought it would be, it wasn't that way. This is misinterpretation. That's why it's so important that you don't misinterpret it. Now, how could they have understood and known which was right or wrong? So how could they know? The same way God's children knows. To see if it was vindicated by God. That's how they would know. If they could see that God was vindicating it, then they would know. And they stood down there and watched Jesus walk into the water, come to the prophet, and vindicate it, and didn't recognize it for what it was. Knowed which was right or wrong. To see if it was vindicated by God. If it was God interpreting what he said. There had been false Jesuses raised up and lead a man, a bunch of 400, out into the wilderness. And that was those messengers I was talking about that day, Brother Michael. They rose up and they led him out into the wilderness and things. But he never proved to make himself in the word, you see. All these false witnesses taking people and taking them off. Himself in the word, you see, like he said. Jesus, when he come, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in flesh. Now, he's giving you the promise for the day. He's laying it out for us. He took it out of the message there where Elohim appeared to Abraham, and in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Sodom, so will it be. Now he's telling you exactly what that is. Before Jesus comes, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in flesh. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is being revealed. The Son of Man is being revealed. How did Brother Brown, we just went through this so many times, how was he being revealed? By bringing it to pass. So when he tells you he's being revealed, he's bringing it to pass. The very thing that he just talked about. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed? Unfolded. Made known. It's made known. The secret has been brought forth. Revealed. In the day that the Son of Man shall be revealed, the world will be in a Sodom condition. We got it, haven't we? Yay, yeah. We have many believe that. How many believes that? It's a Sodom condition. And that's exactly right. Look where it's sitting now. And that's just one of the things he called out. Y'all know he called out so many things. He called them about the Laodicea age being naked and blind and not knowing it. And he pointed it out and showed that they're in that condition. Now he's pointing out that Sodom is in that condition. And then he goes to the platform and he talks about the third pull. And he talked about Jesus Christ making himself known just as much as he had in any day. Right there on the platform. He told us all these things. But people want to go get the message and they want to compare this and this and this. And then, well, see, this don't work. This can't be. And they won't be still and let God show them what's taking place. And he's doing it, brother and sister. When you receive eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. And that's the Greek word, Zoe. Is that right, brother? Now, this is where I was going to talk about Jesus. He was talking about God and Jesus. I want you to... And everything he says here, he starts bringing us in to it. And then this goes back to what we were talking about in oneness, some of it. That's the Greek word Zoe. Is that right, brother? The brother says, yes. Zoe, God's own life. So you being a son, you become part of that life. So the life that's in you never did begin, and it never can end. Think of it. It can't end because anything that's eternal never began. Because now he thought of you. That's that life that's in you. That thought he had of you. That's the life that's in you. Think of it. It can't end because anything that's eternal never began. The life that's in you never did begin. That is, if you've got eternal life. And that's God, for you was in his thought before the eternal. And now it's expressed. The thought is expressed. The life is expressed. And now it's expressed. And here is a human being for his glory. It's his thought being expressed, and he's doing the expressing. Jesus came to redeem that, the expression. Because the expression is what got in trouble. Jesus came to redeem that, being the Son, the fullness of God, had to come and become that. Had to become that expression that was all messed up and perverted. The sinless character of God did that. That he might redeem those other thoughts that was to come to him. To make a wife. See what I mean? Now don't miss what he's saying there about redeeming those other thoughts. Then that sounds a little odd, don't it? Why does he need to redeem his thought? He's already got his thought. His thought didn't go nowhere. And he made it clear just above that, it's the expression. the expression of the thought that he might redeem these other thoughts that has to come to him to make a wife. Those part of his thoughts, Brother Abraham said that we're part of that logos too. The thought that came out of God. See what I mean? Oh, it's a glorious story. We ain't oughtn't to get in on that right now anyhow. Let's go on, all right? Notice, created. God flowed through him like the wind would flow through a building. Like the water flowed down a stream. Even he had him and the Word being one. He's describing to us what it was like, this oneness. Not the one like your finger. He's telling us what it meant. Him and the Word being one. Whatever God wanted, God could do. God, Jesus had so surrendered his will, God expressed this man into being. Him and the Word being one. No other character could do it, for he was the only one that was born without carnal. All the rest of them was sexual desire by carnal. He was born without sex desire. He was the virgin born. God identified himself as we are. He come down and he become that sinful piece of flesh. He was not sinful, you know what I'm saying. But he picked up the cursed earth and made a body and he walked in it. God identified it. You say, oh, Chris, it wasn't cursed. It was cursed. Brother Bram said he would go along and he'd pray for this one and we'd sit down and groan with a headache. It was cursed. But God made it walk like it was supposed to walk. Like Brother Goomba was hitting on the other day about redeemed. Bram said he picked up that part of the earth, the part of the earth around him, and he redeemed that part of the earth. By how? By causing it to walk like his mind saw that earth should walk and do and be. No other man had ever done that. I'm going to read it to you. God identified himself as we are. He took this strain, what he was, his strain is God, and he stretched his tent down here and become human. He made himself a tent, a body to live in, and that body is known as Jesus. God lived in Christ. See, he become a human. God become a human in order to save us. And he took our upon him, our form. He took our form. Remember he said so many times he became us so we might become him. He took our form, that he might mold in us his character. And remember we've talked about on his character. And his character was that he did everything that pleased God. And that brought suffering because he did that. Brother Bram said that perfected his character. And that his character could not be perfected without suffering. And his character was that he did everything that pleased God. And he stayed with the Word. Everything that pleased God. No man had ever done that. No man had done everything that pleased God. And he stayed with the Word. That's what he wanted us for. We stayed with God's Word. Find our place. That's what he wanted us for. We'd stay with God's Word, find our place, and then know where we're at. Stay with his Word. How do we know the message for our age? Stay with the Word. He's the one brings it to pass. Just like they had to sit in the upper room. He told them to tarry until. They didn't know what that meant. They didn't know how long that meant. He said, tarry until. And so they had to go up there and tarry until. And Satan, I guarantee you, Brother Bram said, Satan, they was like, well, I got a little funny feeling. That must have been it. All these trying to get them to interpret what it meant to tarry until, or what it was they were waiting for. And he does it with the message. He tries to get people to reinterpret the message all the time instead of just being still and let him do it. Stay with his word and think of it. We are invited to shape our character to his. We're invited to do that, to shape it to his. Now we're going to find out what we've done. Shape our character to his own by his own spirit. We receive his spirit, and it shapes our character to be like his character. He says it. Shape our character to his own by his own spirit. Then we, by him, are sons of God. There's no other way you're a son of God except by Christ. When we, by him, then we, by him, are sons of God. Just what I've expressed, by having his mind in us to shape our character to his mind. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And if that mind is in you, then, see, you, he only did, now he's telling you what it was, what that means. Remember what we just talked about through this whole message about the prophet telling you what the truth is, and then God showing you and bringing it to pass. If that mind is in you, then you see, he only did that which pleased God. So what does that mean to us? That's a promise that spirit in us will do that. It will do only that pleases God. Brother Branham said Enoch was a type of that because he walked with God for 500 years. He only did that which pleased God. He knowed who he was. He's telling you the message of this hour for you and I. He only did that which pleased God. He knowed who he was. He came the Son of God. He knowed he was to take that place. Now what about us in this hour? Do we know the word and know the place we're supposed to be in? He knowed he was to take that place. His character had to be that way. And then when he, having taken this place, he knowed what the Messiah was required of. He knowed what was required of him. And he always sought at God to do those things and did nothing until the Father showed him. Now, what all these, the way I read them, brother and sister, is that if he done that and we got his mind, we do that. That's got to be that way. Brother Branham said, the word left written for him in this day, she fulfills it. God in her fulfills that word. Always sought at God to be those things, to do those things, and did nothing until the Father showed him. And if you find your place, sister, don't let me hurt you or brother, but you'll find your place in the Word as a Christian, not what the creed said. That's down in the lower canon fodder that's going to be destroyed, see? You find your place as a Christian because your character is molded as Christ's. You are Zoe, the same as he was Zoe. Think about it. Talk about oneness. You are Zoe, the same as he was Zoe. Then if the Bible said for a woman not to cut her hair, how can you do it? It says a man is the ruler of the house. How can you women be? What's the matter with you, man, that's sons of God? See, you don't find your place. You're invited to come and take his character. By having his character in you, it molds you into the same mind that he has. And his mind was always to do what the Father had ordained him to do. It's the same mind, so you'll have the same mind. Whatever he's ordained for us to do. He said, search the scripture. They testify of me. In other words, if I don't do exactly what the scripture said I'm to do, then show me where. Can we make that same testimony? Because the prophet just said we should be able to make the same testimony, the exact same testimony. And remember who's doing it? God's doing it. Satan is always hovering around, and he's always trying to get you to take a little bit on yourself. All he wants you to do is take just a little bit. Because if you take a little bit, you're interpreting it immediately. You're interpreting it. You're trying to bring it to pass. You say, oh, Chris, I believe that he healed me. That's fine. If you believe that, you really believe that, he put that in your heart, then he's doing it. But don't go over there and try to do it yourself. Because then you become a false testimony. Just wait. Wait for him to prove his word. Who did he say gives you faith? God gives us faith. He said, some try this and some try that, and then others, it's just by grace given to them. Now, what if God stood on the platform today and said, what's required of a Christian? Then where would we all be? See, the character isn't expressing itself. His mind was to stay with the Father's word. Their mind was the same mind that was in them was to be in us. And if his mind is in us, we'll do like he did. If his character is in us, we'll be as he was. I don't know how many ways he can say it, brother and sister. We can expect this. If we're not expecting this, I've heard people say, well, I just got a sticky temper, or I got a sticky this or a sticky that or whatever it is. And they make excuses for it. You're playing into Satan's hand when you do that. Because God, Brother Branham said, nobody had a worse temper than him. And when he was born again, and that woman started talking about his mother, he said the only thing he could think about was her soul. Who done that? Brother Branham didn't do it. He didn't have to go through school to learn how not to be sticky. God took the sticky. He just said it right here, brother and sister. We know what Jesus' character was. He said, if his character is in us, we'll be as he was. Is that right? All the prophets had that. We know. We took, take about Noah, how he did in his day, Moses, how he did in his day, and Daniel, how he did in his day, the Hebrew children and so forth. The word molds God's character to us. And anything that's tried to be mixed with that character breaks the mold. You can't mix creed with the word. You can't mix the world with the word. Jesus said, you can't. See, when he says that, everybody looks at it, it's like some kind of hurdle they got to get over. But this is God promising you that you can't do that. You won't do it. What did he say about the bride can't be deceived? She can't be deceived. Not because you worked up something or did something. Because you have his mind. Jesus couldn't be deceived by Satan. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means the world. You can't be one or the other. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Is that true? Then you see, you can't mix it. You can't mix oil and water. It just won't mix. You can't do it. It's not possible. You can churn it up and down and do whatever you want, but it won't mix. And if your character will not mix with the world, and your character will not mix with the world, if you are molded in the form of God by letting the mind that was in Christ be in you, that's the control tower, the direction. Amen. God add his blessings to his word. I tell you, there's nothing greater than this message in this hour, brother and sister. Don't put it second place anywhere, anytime. And you can rest assured that Satan's after you. He's after all God's children. I preached that message pretty hard on Sunday, and he come after me this week. I can tell you. But God is more powerful than Satan. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That's what we hold on to. We hold on to his word. There's answer for his everything in that message that we have need of. It's there. Amen. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, we're not coming here to make some great claims about ourselves. Lord, even though I said us and these things, Lord, you know my heart. You know these brothers and sisters' hearts, those that may be listening in, Lord. You know, Lord, that we believe the hour that we're living in and the words that we've read tonight. And Lord, if they're not already manifest in us, Lord, we know and expect you to manifest them in us, Lord. We long to be, Lord, in a closer walk every day. Lord, we long to leave this old world behind, Lord. But whatever you want to do with us, may you do it, Lord. Whatever glory you can get from whatever you want to do in our lives, Lord, you are welcome to do it. Lord, have your will in our lives. And as Mary said a long time ago, be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. I think your bride believes that about this word in this hour, Lord. You got a few the sun don't go down on all over the world, Lord. And we pray you'll bless them and lift them up wherever they're at, whatever they're going through, Lord. Give them strength. Embrace them up, Lord, with your word. Let them know, Lord, that you are in absolute control. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.